if you will, all wrapped up in one organization run by the Antichrist during the tribulation period to deceive the world into worshiping Satan as God, which is what he has desired since his fall. And so we got some glimpses of it in 17, what Mystery Babylon's about. We started chapter 18 last week, and we'll start again there in verse 3. So who would read 3 through 8 to get us started of chapter 18 in Revelation? Any volunteers to read those verses 3 through 8? Mr. Scott, thank you.
All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I have heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled of to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her.
Amen. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord, we pray, as we go into your precious word. Guide us in your truth and use it in our lives. We commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, who is told to come out of this system? There in verse 4. My people are told to come out of her. So those that have trusted the Lord, those that are God's people. And it almost implies that this system might already be in preliminary existence in some form, huh? Which we see some strong similarities between this system and, or ties, if you will, to the Catholic Church. Through the colors, the purple and the scarlet, the city on the seven hills, which is typically referred to as Rome. And would God say the same to any who would get saved in the Catholic Church today? Come out of her, my people?
Yeah.
Of course he would. Would he want them to stay in and try to convert the Catholic Church to God? Or to come out?
Get out.
And so we can see it's always been God's will. If you find yourself in a false system, religious system, the answer isn't after you get saved to try and convert the system. The answer is to come out. And he's saying, come out of her, my people. And notice the city will be judged. And notice in verses 5 and 6, who actually does the judging of the city? Jesus Christ. Why would that be? Why? Why will God judge this city? Pardon? Well, he kind of tells us in there, if you look, her sins have reached to heaven. He remembers her iniquities. And she's filled a cup with her sins. God says, I'm going to fill it to her double. So he's rewarding her according to her own sins. And notice the false system. What did she glorify in instead of the Lord? Or verse 7, herself. So we see some pride going on there, don't we? She's glorified, it says, herself, and lived deliciously. So obviously the leaders of this system, maybe now and of course during the tribulation period, do they live in poverty or luxury?
Luxury.
It's pretty obvious, right? And of course, the system today, do the leaders live in poverty or luxury? Now the followers live in poverty, don't they? You know, the Catholics, the countries that are predominantly Catholic are predominantly poor. Isn't that interesting? When you look at it, especially Central South American countries, they're poor. What's that? Yeah? And yet, the leaders are not poor. They live in complete luxury. Her delicacies. And look what it says. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen? Interesting. Did you know in the Old Testament even we find Israel worshiping someone referred to as the Queen of Heaven? And here we have Mystery Babylon referring to herself as a queen. Now, does that phrase Queen of Heaven, is it still used today? Anybody ever heard it before? Yep. Diane? Who's it referring to?
Mary.
The Catholic Church refers to Mary as the Queen of Heaven. Do you know that? Sure do. That's why they pray to Mary, because they believe she has influence over Jesus and she's his mother. Basically, they're trying to tell mom to tell the son what to do. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus is God and Mary's a sinner. You don't pray to sinners. You pray to God. Anyway, the Queen of Heaven's been around a while. And here we have her referring to herself as a queen. Plenty of pride there in this religious mystery Babylon, whore of Babylon, if you will. But God says that... let's look at those verses real quick. I mentioned them. Jeremiah 7, just so you can see for yourself, a couple of examples in the Old Testament. Now, Jeremiah was written about the time of the final carrying away of the Jews into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. So he was writing about that time when there was the final set of kings of Judah and Israel. Well, Israel had already been taken captive 100 years before. But notice Jeremiah 7. Who would read verse 18 of Jeremiah 7? Mark?
The children gather wood. Fathers kindled the fire, and the woman kneaded their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger.
So this was about 600 BC, and yet when the Catholic Church introduced praying to Mary, they thought it was something new. But it wasn't anything new. This was 600 years before Christ. We had the Israelites obviously following in the footsteps of the Gentile nations around them, worshiping to none other than the Queen of Heaven. Now let's look at Jeremiah 44 and we'll see it again. So I just wanted you to see that this is something new, that the devil's been using for a long time. And Mystery Babylon is the culmination of this wrong thinking. This woman, this religious system. So Jeremiah 44, who would read? I'll read it. Notice verse 17. It says, but we will certainly do whatsoever things go forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we, our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Verse 19, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? So notice who's doing it, Judah and Israel. Giving offerings unto the Queen of Heaven 2,600 years ago. And here we have Mystery Babylon, in the end of the tribulation period, still yet in the future, referring to herself as a queen. Now, the Bible is all about a king. Amen? From start to finish, it's about a king and his kingdom. And that king is the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. But the devil has a system that revolves around a queen. So very interesting. And that culminates here at the end of the tribulation period. So on to verse 8. Who will judge her at this time, and how long does her destruction take? According to verse 8. One day. God decides to pour out his wrath upon her and to destroy her in a day, which tells us a lot, of course, about God's wrath, but also, as it says there in verse 8, strong is the Lord God. Just reminding us about the strength of our Creator, God Almighty, that He can do whatever He pleases, whenever He pleases, and He's decided to judge her in one day. All right, so who would read verses 9 and 9 through 12? Carry us on, Mark. Yes, you can.
So, isn't there other references? Is it, I don't know where it is. It's somewhere else in Revelation where it refers to that destruction being over a very short time.
That was in chapter 17, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a prophecy that it was coming. You're talking about a destruction of Mystery Babylon. Mm-hmm. It is referred to as being a short time in other places. It might be other places besides 17. But I don't remember off the top of my head. But it is a short time, and this is the end, if you will, of Mystery Babylon that we're reading about. This will be at the very end of the tribulation period. It's happening simultaneously, as we saw last week with the Battle of Armageddon. And it's all destroyed by God. And then, of course, Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom at his return. So 9 through 13. Anybody willing to read those to carry us on? Well, any questions or comments before we do? As we continue looking at Mystery Babylon. Nobody? 9:13. Who would read those for us? Any volunteers? Mr. Scott again, thank you.
And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication have lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more, the merchandise of gold and silver, and precious stones, and of pearls, and of and fine linen, and purple, and silk, and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and anointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men.
Amen. So isn't this interesting, the reaction of these kings to her destruction, how different it is to what we saw in chapter 17. Notice where we saw 17 down to verse 12. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings in 1 hour with the beast. And then 17:16. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked. So here we have these 10 kings hating her, and yet here we have these other kings of the earth, not the 10 kings, but the rest of the kings of the earth, bewailing her destruction. So the 10 kings, God uses them to turn against her at the end, but the other kings of the earth, which is pretty much everybody else, are sad at her destruction. But it's interesting, isn't it, that their bewailing isn't because she was wonderful or righteous. Why are they bewailing her? What are they so upset about?
No one's gonna buy this stuff.
It's about money. It's about money. It's still is today, right? It's always about money. And it's going to be about money. It shows that the mystery of Babylon isn't just a religious system, but it's an economic system. And tied in with the mark of the beast. And they're bewailing her not about anything but money. That they've been doing business with her. She's been in control of the economics. They've been made rich because of her. And now they're sad that she's being destroyed. But it's because of money that they are bewailing her. And that's the reason they're weeping. As we see in verse 11, the merchants here shall weep and mourn, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. So do you think that Mystery Babylon will be rich? About as rich as possible during the tribulation period, because Mystery Babylon will be in control of the entire world's money system. How do we know this is true? How else can the world control whether you buy or sell based on the mark? Unless it's already in control of pretty much all the money. The devil will be in control of all of it through the Antichrist. And Mystery Babylon will be the means by which he controls it. But did you see the list of things that she merchandises in? Most of them aren't a big surprise until we get to the last one. What about that one? There at the end of verse 13. Souls of men. Up to that point, it's all about stuff, right? Food and other things, riches. But just right at the very end, God throws in, oh, and also she merchandises in the souls of men. What does that tell us?
Well, people will be led astray.
Yeah. And again, it's not just economics, is it? It's spiritual. Little s, of course. So she's been merchandising in the souls of men. She has been controlling people's spiritual lives. Yes?
See, with that, an example of that would be that, oh, you know, you come into our organization and we'll give you wealth.
Well, essentially, if you want to be part of an organization, you need to take the mark so that you can buy and sell. And if you don't take the mark, we will kill you. That's pretty much control.
So therefore, that organization is only relevant when it's formed in the tribulation.
Right. I mean, again, there might be glimpses of it around us today, but this organization won't be in its fruition until the tribulation period, when the Antichrist is in control. And when it is dictated, as we saw way back in 13 and earlier, that you have to take the mark to buy or sell.
It's similar to the Islam today. Economically and spiritually, it covers every facet of their lives.
Right. Very similar.
It involves everything, so...
And as we discussed, the devil's going to come up with a way to make the Catholics and the Muslims one big happy family.
That's right.
Which will be interesting. We won't be here to have to watch it happen, but it's going to happen. There's just going to be one religious system, and it's going to be the devil's. And all these people are going to believe they're doing the right thing. That's what you got to remember. The devil is going to put forth that he is God. People aren't going to be saying, oh, we want to worship the devil, we want to worship the devil. They're going to believe they're worshiping God. And the Antichrist is going to be using the miracles and, of course, the economic control to deceive and control people. And the majority of the world will submit and condemn their souls to hell, which is so sad. Praise God for the multitude that gets saved. Amen. Many will lose their heads, and they're okay with that because they end up in heaven. So her main desire, according to this verse 14 and 11 through 13, has been what? The thee there is talking to her, the mystery of Babylon. So the fruits that thy soul lusted after, her main desire has been control of the world's everything. Money and what money buys, merchandise. And as we see the type of existence that she had, it says dainty and goodly. So for Mystery Babylon as a system and its leaders, it's been all about luxury and being rich and having lots of nice things. And the devil will use that to draw people in, which is, again, that's one of his ways. So verse 15, it says, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. So remember, rich by her. So let's just review it again in chapter 13, where we were first introduced to this system. Who would read 16 and 17 again? Of chapter 13. Thank you, Beth.
And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that has had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Okay, so there it is. No man, verse 17. That's just not talking about a certain country. That's talking about the whole world. No man can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And so we come here to 18:15, and it says that the merchants were made rich by her. So she's in complete control. We're referring to her as a person, but remember, it's the Antichrist's world religious economic system that we're talking about here. And God refers to her as the whore of Revelation, Mystery Babylon, and so forth. So this city, what do we learn about her in verse 16? Clothed in fine linen. Here we see the purple and the scarlet again. So that's twice we've seen the purple and the scarlet. Decked with golds and precious stones and pearls. So she was very great, very wealthy. All about the delicacies and the goodliness, merchandise-wise. So we've had now three groups lament Babylon's destruction in this chapter. Notice, who would read 17 through 19? Anybody? Mr. Shannon?
For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company of ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like under this great city? And they cast dust on their heads, and cried weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate.
So, how many of the ships were made rich by her? All. We keep seeing this word all, reminding us that this is worldwide. And so now we have the ship merchants bewailing her. We had the other merchants up there bewailing her. And we had the kings of the earth, not the 10 kings, but the other kings of the earth bewailing her. Everybody's upset now that Mystery Babylon is being destroyed by the Lord. But that doesn't change heaven's perspective on Mystery Babylon, right? Here's heaven's perspective, verse 20. rejoice. So here we have the whole earth bewailing her. God says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. It's quite a different perspective, isn't it? From the world's perspective, which is saying, oh, it's such a shame to see Mystery Babylon destroyed. God says, rejoice, because she's finally being avenged. Because she is, again, the culmination of the devil's system. When you go all the way back to the book of Daniel, you see Nebuchadnezzar's image, and he lists the kingdoms, which all came to pass, and then that final kingdom, which was Rome, final world-dominating kingdom, the Bible said eventually it would become the toes of clay, which is the resurgence. The Mystery Babylon is the resurgence of those 10 toes, put on hold, if you will, for 2,500 or more years, that final world-controlling kingdom that God revealed through Nebuchadnezzar's dream. All right, so somebody read the rest of the chapter. Any questions or comments? Can't wait to get to 19. It's a lot more enjoyable. That's Jesus coming back. All right, well, who would read, 21 through 24? The volunteers? Pastor Shannon.
And the mighty angel took a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers, and the musicians, and the pipers, of the pipers, and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by their sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth.
We'll talk about that last bit in a minute. But her destruction here has been prophesied through the scriptures. And we can find an example of that if you want to go to Jeremiah 51. We'll see an example of some of these prophecies of her destruction that God foresaw and wrote down for us. So Jeremiah 51. Verse 8. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her, if so be she may be healed. And then look at 51 and verse 41. 51:41. How is Shishak taken, and how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? Verse 42. The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. 63, and it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates, and thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah pretty much completed his prophecy with pronouncements of destruction upon Babylon. And it talked about her craft. Did you see that there in verse 22? Her craftsmen. If you go way back to Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 8, we'll be reminded about this craft aspect increasing under the leadership of the Antichrist. Right after the book of Ezekiel is the book of Daniel. And notice chapter 8. Now, this is describing the Antichrist's kingdom here in Daniel chapter 8. Notice it says in verse 25, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He also shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So there's that reminder about the craft increasing, and we read so much about the craftsman here in 22. So that was Daniel's prophecy about the leadership of the Antichrist being ended. And we're seeing it now come to fruition here at the end of the tribulation period in 17 and 18. And God basically gives three main reasons for her destruction by the Lord. And what are those found in 23 and 24? These are important. So why is God destroying Babylon in such an open way, such a big way? End of 23 is the first one. Okay. So by thy sorceries, all the nations were what?
Deceived.
There's the spiritual aspect. The Antichrist's deception, and he will use miracles to do it, and sorceries. And then it says, and in her was found the blood of prophets. This is why it looks like that Mystery Babylon has always kind of been around as the Antichrist's or the devil's system, if you will. He is the God of this world, after all, and has been for 6,000 years. Because how else would the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth be the responsibility of Mystery Babylon? So it's basically the devil's background system that's always been there. Because he's the God of this world, deceiving people to not believe on the Lord. The Bible says he blinds people's minds. He's been doing it for 6,000 years. Yes?
Yeah, so you're saying he's over the past many centuries, he's deceived and confused people into twisting the truth around.
Exactly.
And actually attacking and killing the saints, those people that are standing, like the martyrs.
Yep. How sad. And that is kind of the end of the sadness. Amen? Because next week, chapter 19, from our perspective as Christians, everything changes in chapter 19. Because Jesus comes back. And we come back with him.
Amen.
Won't that be great? And the tribulation will be over. So that finishes the tribulation period. Any comments or questions? Next week we dive into 19.